Now, before we actually get into missions, I want to give you a couple of things here this morning. I'm going to trust the Lord's work in and through our midst. You know, I was doing some research, and the first year of our church's existence, we had, I want to say probably about 12 people.
Wow.
And we had given $7,000 to missions from 12 people.
Wow.
That's talking about husband and wife, duos. Amen. So my wife, myself, Pastor, Mrs. White, and several others. And as a church, look back, and we had given $7,000. And we were still a part of Bethel Baptist Church. And so our giving was given through Bethel Baptist Church.
Wow.
And their goal at that time, this was in 2001, their goal was, I think it was $37,000.
Wow.
And they were losing our $7,000 because we had begun to go independent that second year.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back, I thought $7,000 for a church that small.
That's nice.
That's quite a big chunk for us.
Sure is.
Church.
3 years.
And God has increased us every year since, and we're at 83,000. Some years we took a big jump, other years we took a small jump, but every year we did jump a little bit.
Yep.
And I'm not overwhelmingly concerned about the number that we give, and more as I am in the heart that we give.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Because God is interested in our hearts, and
yes,
if our hearts are involved, then God's going to do something great. And so it's not so much the numbers, although the numbers help. The numbers help. But it's more of the heart. And this morning we're going to do two things. We're going to look at one of the churches that helped Paul, the church at Philippi. And but before we look at that church that Paul helped, I want to do something. I want to give you an opportunity to give a testimony of what you got saved. Because missions is all about missionaries going throughout the world and finding people that don't know Christ and getting them saved. Now, I, for one, was saved by the missions church in Belgium. I know the Lepars were as well. I think Miss Rose was saved at a missions church. Miss Smith was saved overseas missions church. And churches in America are also mission churches, well, to a degree.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We are.
Because each one step of mission of reaching souls.
Yes,
so no matter where you got saved at, the church that you got saved in had a mission. And that mission was to get the gospel out. By the way, that's the church, the mission of every church, to get the gospel out.
Exactly.
By that word of prayer. If you'd like to share your testimony of where you got saved at and how you got saved, that would really be a blessing this morning. Father, bless now. As we reminisce on the time that we came to know Christ as Savior, and the Lord, I pray that you would do a marvelous work of grace in our lives, Lord, allowing us to remember the great price and the great penalty that Jesus Christ paid for our sins. And Lord, I pray that as we look back on our salvation dates and time, Lord, that you would work in our hearts, bringing us back face to face with what you've done in our lives. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. And I mean, your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. And we're going to look at the work that got started in Philippi.
Amen.
And then give you a chance to share your testimony of salvation. And then look at a letter that Paul wrote back to this same church at Philippi. And again, all this just to kind of get your heart stirred up about what God is doing in missions. Acts chapter number 16. Of course, this is when Paul gets the Macedonian call over to Europe. And he lands in a place called Philippi. Notice verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia and a colony. We were in that city abiding certain days, and that's what missionaries normally do. They go into a city, check it out, see what they're going to do. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside. Now, why did they go out on the Sabbath day? Anybody know? Why on the Sabbath day? Why not the first day of the week?
To pray.
Well, to pray, yeah, that's a good thing to do. Amen. Anybody know why? Even on the Sabbath day and not the first day of the week? Right? Exactly. They would be worshiping. Amen.
Yes.
So Paul's goal always when he went into a town was to meet who first? To the Jew first.
Jew.
And also to the Greek. So he was always trying to look for Jews. And so he went out on Sabbath day to find, I should be able to find somebody. Yeah. And his goal was to find somebody worshiping on the Sabbath so that he can do what to them? To witness to them. Give them the gospel. Amen. Yeah. Once the local churches were established, then would they start worshiping on? Sunday. So Paul goes out on the Sabbath day, which most faithful Jews would do. He went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and he sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So there were some ladies there. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. So she's worshiping God as best she knows how on the Sabbath day. And the Lord had opened up her heart. Notice it says, she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And so she listened carefully. Who do you think she's listening about? The Lord Jesus. That's what Paul is going to teach. Amen. And when she was baptized, so what's the conclusion when it says, and when she was baptized, what's the conclusion we come to? She got
saved.
Because Paul got him saved, and then Paul's goal was to get him baptized. Okay, when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. Come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us, and it came to pass, and we went to prayer. A certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us. Brought her message, which came by Sue, saying, same Father Paul and us, and Christ, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same, came out the same hour. When her master saw the hope of her gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the marketplace, and the rulers brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews, you exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates went off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them in the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. So Paul and Silas, after getting this young lady saved, cast this demon out of this girl.
And then they don't like it because they lose money, and then they throw them in prison. Verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken immediately. All the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword, would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. They spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was what? Baptized in all his straightway. When he had besought them and when he had brought them into his house, he had set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So that is the start of the church at Philippi. You've got Lydia getting saved. You've got this demon-possessed girl getting the demon cast out of her. More than likely, she got saved. You got the Philippian jailer getting saved. And his household, they got saved. Don't you believe that they had some testimonies to share with others about how they got saved? Especially the Philippian jailer. Amen. How he was going to commit suicide and kill himself. Amen.
Yep.
Lydia, she's out there worshiping and nobody's around with giving her the truth. And then here comes Paul to give her the truth. This demon-possessed girl, how she's going around demon-possessed. Then all of a sudden, Paul comes in, casts the demon out. More than likely, she gets saved. Don't you think they all have a testimony to share? Amen.
Yes,
and that church is the church that started out supporting Paul and one of the longest serving supporting churches that he had during a stretch in Paul's life. Now, With that said, with their testimonies, I can guarantee you when people came into that church at Philippi, they heard about Lydia's salvation testimony. I bet they heard about the demon-possessed girl's salvation testimony. I believe they heard about the Philippian jailer's testimony. Amen. And the people got those testimonies and said, you know what? If God can do that for a Philippian jailer, if he can do that for a demon-possessed girl, if he can do that for Lydia, he can do that for me.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And so let me give you a little taste of my testimony. I'm not going to give you the long version. I'll give you a short version. I was like many of these folks. I'm going about my business until someone began to approach my wife with the gospel. And then my wife approached me with that gospel. Then I asked him to approach me with that same gospel because I had many questions. Mm-hmm. And guess what? We came to church.
Amen.
And guess what we heard? The gospel.
The gospel, Pastor.
And guess what we got? Just like Lydia and the Philippian jailer. We got saved.
Hey.
And guess what we got shortly thereafter? Baptized.
All right. Amen.
And guess what we told people? What happened to us? Let me tell you what happened to me. Amen. So it happened to them and it happened to us and it happened to you as well. Amen. Missions is all about people getting the gospel. And missions is about me telling somebody else what happened to me. Why? So that they can know the goodness of God. So that they can get saved. By the way, contrary to popular belief, people are still looking to be loved.
Yes, sir. They are, Pastor. They sure are.
They're still looking to be loved. They're looking for somebody to accept them for who they are. I mean, the gays are looking for someone to accept them as they are, the homosexuals, the bisexuals, the transgenders, all of them.
Yep.
They're looking for someone to love them and accept them like they are. By the way, Jesus Christ will accept them as they are, but he won't leave them like he found them. Amen. And that's the beauty of it. Amen. He's not going to leave them. Now, he'll accept them just like they are, but he'll say, no, I'm not going to leave you that way. You're going to have to do some things. Let me take that sin away from you and give you a new spirit and give you a new heart. And guess what? If they have a new spirit, new heart, they're going to change.
That's right, they are.
They're going to change. I was just talking to a guy just yesterday, a couple of days ago, that got saved here.
Amen.
And we sat down, and he had the typical questions that a young Christian has as they start reading through the Bible. Well, what about this? And what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And why do I feel so different? And why, when I start trying to drink or do this or do that, why do I kind of get kind of edgy about that? I said, well, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I said, did you have this before you got saved? No. He said, I took the Lord's name in vain the other day. And he said, I just thought I lost my salvation. I felt bad. He said, I thought I had blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Can you help me? I said, did you feel like that beforehand? No. I said, God's showing you something changed inside you.
Yes, sir.
You're not the same person you used to be.
That's good.
That's a good thing.
Yes, sir.
That's
it
a
is.
Real good
it
thing.
Is.
Now, you're not perfect and you're not sinless.
That's right.
But when you're conscious of your sin, you start sinning less. And the individual got excited and thought, well, I didn't lose my salvation. No, you didn't lose your salvation. I said, but you need to get in church. You need to get in church so you can learn and be around other believers. Amen. And what a blessing it was. Who else wants to share their testimony? How you got saved when you came to know Christ? Well, where were you at? What happened? Amen. Yeah. Diana. Amen.
And on the last day of the church Bible school, they gave an altar call, and I responded. And the pastor and his wife and their daughter were so excited because they've been praying for me for a while, so that all of the Seal family would be saved.
Amen. It's incredible how you kind of relate certain things. I heard my dad snoring, so I know him. I know he's going. If he's still here, then Jesus ain't come yet. Amen. That's a blessing. Anybody else want to share their salvation testimony? What happened to you? We get you Lily first, and we get you Perry.
Dr. Dan, was a single woman back then, divorced with same big brothers. And, I was attending all the Bible study for a lot of Korean church, the Southern Baptist church. And somehow they never shared with me about the gospel. So just attending Bible study and all the groups of people. So I don't know what's going on by them, but I inherited all this Bible. One day, when Stephen and I were ending the regular church, you know, Sunday down in Cajon, and I was there for one time, and the deacon basically find out that he was a part director and made an appointment that, you know, because I put the note in there that, you know, it's the note in there, the invitation said, are you saved? And I said, no. So I filled it up on an invitation that he gave me, and was somehow, and are you a member of the church? And I said, no, because I never really went to church, so I don't know nothing about that. So he bounced up in there like what we have here. So, and he said, if you really want to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know, check it out in there. So I did. And I said, and then, but I went to the pulpit. I thought I was, you know, medical invitation when Pastor preached that morning. And he was preaching about Matthew that day morning. I never forgot that. But I thought I already, you know, accept Jesus personal Savior when I went to some lady talking to me. And it was about it. And one of the day called me up and he made an appointment for me because I worked at night. And I was so tired, and I never forgot. It took them like 1 to almost 3 hours to share the gospel with me. So he was sharing, you know, Bible King James. He got a Bible King James Bible that was showed to me with a truck in him with his wife. Praying for me. I never forgot the day, and he showed me about John 3:16.
Amen.
That book of Acts and Romans. It's all about salvation. I wasn't really interesting until I guess the Lord woke me up that day, and he shared to me about, you know, John 14:6, and it was like an hour that an hour later, and he said that he shared with me John 3:3. He said right there it really, you know, hit me right. He said that Jesus said that very I see on TV, I was reading right there. In John 3:3, except in my born again, you cannot see the kingdom. And God, I'm like, you what? And he was ready to give up because I would not. So finally, right then, he showed me the revelation, and that was Revelation 3:20. He showed me that one too, and all the way to Revelation 14, all the way, and about he showed me about between hell and how real, and you know, I'm like, I began to. So right there, I realized that, you know, I am a sinner. So I start beginning to cry. I'm like, it is. So I, you know, I told him, you know, that, yes, and he showed me all the stuff. The last one that he did about, and Acts 4:12, and right there that. For any other among any there's anything and maybe starvation, something like that. And so I realized I was sinner, so I did repent and, you know, confessed my sin, and it was so he said, so if you could die right now, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? I said yes, and he said, tell me how you want to for sure, because, and I said, because I know that, you know, I'm a sinner, but, you know, I have this helm that, you know, for my sin, for all the blood that he died for me, and I said, you know, that cross right there, I'm going to the cross, and I said, I would say yes, and I said, so, he did pray and pray, and with his wife, and I pray, and I said, Lord, forgive me for my sin, and everything, you know, and I said, I don't know that he was really true in everything, that when the Bible, I was reading through that show with you.
Joy unspeakable and full of glory, as the Bible says, eh?
So I start sharing the people, inviting the people.
Amen.
You know, how many people that I invite and pick up in my small car, invite too many kids and adults to church, sharing with them about, you know, what God has done to me.
Amen. Well, I don't feel so bad that it took me 3 hours to get saved, too. And I found out it took you 3 hours, too. Amen. I just think, man, it took me 3 hours to get saved, so I'm not the only one. Amen. Praise the Lord. And very quickly, yes, Perry.
Drink a little beer, that type of thing. And all of that just completely stopped. My friends, the people in my household, you know, they began to look at me and just, you know, was truly amazed. About a month later, my younger brother, he came to church with me. And he got saved. And, something that was so different compared to a lot of people in our community and especially in our household. And I was so thankful. Like I said, we never knew from one day to another if we were going to be alive. And that type of peace was just wonderful.
Amen. Amen. And one of the reasons why, you know, I say, you know, sharing testimonies is when you get saved, you have a heart of gratitude. And you can't repay the Lord for him saving you. But the gratitude that you have in your heart should be to tell somebody else how good you have it so that someone else can have it as good as you have it. My wife and I, we thought that it was going to be like bragging. you know, to tell somebody that we had something so good and such a peace that passes all understanding, and a God that forgave us. We thought it'd be like bragging. We didn't know it was called witnessing. Amen. We thought we got to tell somebody, but we, you know, we didn't want to come off as braggadocious that, you know, we got a God that saved us, forgave us of our sins. And so, you know, you look at this church, go back to Acts chapter 16. And you find Paul getting the Philippian jailer baptized, and then the magistrates trying to get him out of town. And notice in verse number 38, it says, "And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of that city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed." So that is the start of that church there. The Philippian jailer, his family, Lydia, her family, this demon-possessed girl. And from them began a nucleus of believers that started there. Paul leaves there. And somewhere down the line, this church begins to support Paul out of a heart of gratitude. They're thankful that Paul came and shared the gospel with them. And because Paul shared the gospel with them, they're excited about it. They're like, "Paul, we want to help you get the gospel to somebody else."
Amen.
So they can have it like we had it. And so, of course, they still, you know, just are on fire about this. Now, come over to the book of Philippians, because Paul now writes back to the church at Philippi sometime later. The book of Philippians, if you got your Bible song, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and Luke, you get that, amen, you'll find that. And so the theme of the book of Philippians is joy. And Paul found joy in everything that he did, because he saw everything that he did through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And everything that he did was centered around the gospel. The book of Philippians, in and of itself, each chapter, Paul deals with four different subjects here. Joy in spite of circumstances. Chapter 1, verse 12. Notice what he says there. "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things that happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel." Paul had joy because he said, you know what, even if I'm in prison, even if I'm bad off, it doesn't matter. I'm looking at that as an opportunity to give out the gospel. Shane, you go to work and your boss says you're fired. Amen. And Shane says, you know what, I'm going to use that for an opportunity to give out the gospel. Amen. I'm going to share the gospel with somebody. They say, "Hey, look, Shane, heard you got fired." "Yeah, I did, but by God, she'll supply all my needs." A chance to give out the gospel. Amen. Anything and everything can be a furtherance of the gospel. So it's joy in spite of his circumstances. Chapter number 2 is joy in spite of people. Notice what you come over here. And somebody read verse number 5 for me. Philippians 2:5. Who's got that one? Brother Duffy? Paul said, "I can have joy in spite of people by humbling myself and having a humble heart and a humble mind." By the way, if you have a humble mind and a humble heart, nobody can ever step on you. Amen. Or I should say, knock you down from off your high horse, because you're already humble. Amen. So nobody can knock you off your high horse, because you're not on a high horse. You're humble. Amen. And he gives the illustration of Christ. "Let this mind be in you." So joy in spite of worry, joy in spite of circumstance, joy in spite of people. Chapter number 3, verse number 7. You can have joy in spite of things. Let me get somebody to read chapter 3 and verse 7. Who's got that one? Verse 7. Rose? Amen. He said, "The things that were gained, I count it loss." Amen. No matter what things you get, by the way, you can lose them.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
You can lose them. Yes, sir, amen. Anything that you get, you can lose. I don't care what it is. If it's a thing, you can lose it. You can. It's a finger, you can lose it. If it's a ring, you can lose it. Amen. If it's a friend, you can lose them. Although they're not things, they're people. Amen. But you can lose things. And Paul said, you know what? I can have joy in spite of things by saying, you know, I count it all to Christ. You know, everything, I can get rid of everything for Christ. Amen. And then chapter number 4, joy in spite of worry. And let me get somebody to read verse number 11. Who's got that one? Verse 11. Lily? "Therewith to be content." So joy in spite of worry. So chapter 4 of Philippians, Paul now is dealing with the fact that he's got joy in spite of worry. By the way, are there plenty of things for you and I to worry about?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Pastor. There is.
We worry about bills. We worry about the future. We worry about our health. We worry about our children. We worry about our grandparents. We worry about our parents. We worry about our uncles, our aunts, our friends. We all have stuff that we could worry about. And Paul says, you know what? I'm going to encourage this church because they were one of the churches that I saw when I first came to Europe. These folks got saved. They were excited they got saved. They started supporting me. But guess what? There was a time when they didn't support me. And I'm not going to worry about that. Amen. And by the way, when it comes down to supporting churches financially, every church should endeavor to do that. Some can do more, some do less, but all should do something. Amen. And so keep in mind that when it comes down to this, missionaries are people just like you and I.
Yes, sir.
They have children just like you have children. They have bills just like you have bills. They have worries just like you have worries. They have concerns like you have concerns. They get their feelings hurt just like you get your feelings hurt. Amen. People abandon them just like people abandon you. People let them down. So they've got everything that you and I have. So don't you think they have something to worry about too? Paul is a missionary. And Paul's saying, I got things that I could worry about. That I could worry about. But guess what? He says, I'm not going to worry about it. Amen. Notice that verse again. He says down there in verse number 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whichever state I am therewith to be content. Paul said, I don't care how you find me. I'm going to be content in that state that you find me. Christian, we can learn a lot from that missionary's attitude. Amen. By the way, a missionary on the field as well never knows from day to day who's going to drop their support, who's going to raise their support, who's going to pull their support. What church is going to close down and they won't have any support? They don't know from day to day what's going to happen. A preacher can take over a church and say, look, I don't like this missionary agency, so I'm not supporting any of those missionaries. It can happen just like that.
Yes, sir, again, Pastor.
And by the way, the same thing can happen to you at your job. Mm-hmm. Amen. Hey, Sam works at Intuit. Intuit? He can get a new manager of the corporation, comes in and says, okay, we can do without all of this department right here. That happens to be the department that Sam works in. Guess what? I'm out of a job. And so we don't know from one day to the next what's going to happen. We really don't. And so Paul says, why worry about it? Just learn to be content with what you have. Why? My God shall supply all your need. Amen. And so Paul writes to this church and he's encouraged by this church and some of the things that they did. And so I want to just briefly walk down here and show you just a couple things that I want you to understand about this missionary's heart and our missionaries as well. Number one, in verse number 10, they gave Paul a reason to rejoice. Notice verse number 10 in chapter number 4. He says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. He says, you know, you guys were anxious. You lacked opportunity. You wanted to give. You were giving. You stopped, but you started again. And Paul says, I'm not going to worry and I'm not going to do anything but rejoice in the Lord. Notice what he says. But I rejoiced in the Lord. Notice he didn't say, but I rejoice in you Philippians.
No.
If we rejoice in people, what can happen to us oftentimes? People can let you down. But what did he say? He said, I rejoiced in the Lord that the Lord used you. Amen. And so if I rejoice in the Lord's never going to let me down. But people will always let you down. Hallelujah. You can count on it. Amen. As soon as you put them up on their pedestal, their high horse, they're going to fall off. Amen. But Paul said, I'm rejoicing in the Lord because he knew it was God who gave them what they could to give to him. Amen. And by the way, our rejoicing should always be in the Lord, not in man, because man will let you down. Amen. And by the way, I'm so glad that we have not had to let any missionary down yet. In the 16 years of this church's existence, we have not had to let any missionary down. Now, we've had some that were disqualified and they had to come off the field. And by the way, when they came off the field, if we promised to support them for a year, guess what we did? We supported them for the rest of the year.
Yes, sir.
Because you know what? When they come off the field, they still have a family.
Yes, sir.
They still have a transition time. Even at your job, when they let you go, they give you some kind of a severance pay. Amen. Don't you think the missionaries could use that too? Amen.
Yes,
and so Paul said, you know what? You guys are giving me a reason to rejoice. You wanted to give. You couldn't give. But you started giving again, even when you stopped giving. Amen. And notice he says something else here. Their lacking allowed him some learning. Notice where it says down there at the end of verse number 10. You lacked opportunity. not that I respect and want, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And he said, you know what? You guys, your lack allowed me to learn. He said, I've learned to go without some things, and I learned to do with some things. Notice verse 12. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. He said, when you didn't give, I was abased. I went without. And I know how to abound. He said, when you gave, I had it all. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full. He said, you know what? I know how to have a lot and both to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So Paul said, I learned these things by your lack of giving and by others' lack of giving. He said, I learned to have a lot. I learned to have a little. I learned to make the best out of a bad situation. I learned to make ends meet, so to speak. Moms, you know how it is when you look up in a cupboard and you don't have the food that you thought you had. Amen. And all you got is some rice and some beans, and you got to make the best of what you got. You got to get some hot dogs out or whatever, some little chili beans to go in there. And hey, you make the best of what you got. Paul said, look, he said, your lack of giving allowed me some learning. He said, I learned how to have a little. I've been abased. I learned to have a lot. I've abounded. I've learned to have it all in the Lord. Amen. Notice verse 13. I can do how many things? All things through Christ, which strengthens me. He says, so whether you give a little, whether you give a lot, I can do it all through Christ. Amen. I'll funnel it and run it all through him. And by the way, little as much when God's in it. Amen. Hey, if Jesus can take a few loaves and fishes and multiply it to feed, Paul says, you know what? The little bit that you guys give me, I can take it and I can make great things happen. You know, I marveled at Brother Kiefer's building, and he showed me some before pictures. And then he showed me some after pictures, and it only was a couple days. And I said, my soul, brother, I said, how in the world did you get all that work done? And then he showed me all of his children. How many children he got, Sarah, 11? 12 kids. He said, this is my secret. And he showed me his children all working in the building. I said, no wonder you got so much done in such a short amount of time. Amen. He said, this is my secret. You got all the kids over there painting and doing all this. I said, amen. What happened? Hey, he said, I may not have a lot of money, but I got a lot of help. I got a lot of help. I can't go out and bring a bunch of carpenters in. I can't go out and bring a bunch of people in, but I got a lot of children. And my God's going to meet my needs. Amen. And so he says, I learned how to have a little. I can do all things through Christ. Amen. But notice number three, they showed sincerity in their sacrifice. Notice verse 15 and 16. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving or receiving, but you only. Paul said, you guys were the only ones. Amen. And for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Paul said, you know, not only once, but again. You guys were the ones that supported me. What are we talking about? This is this church where the Philippian jailer got saved. Don't you think he's grateful? This is a church where his family got saved. Don't you think they're grateful? Amen. And this is a church where the demon-possessed girl more than likely got saved. Don't you think she's glad to have that demon gone out of her? Amen. And Lilia, don't you think she's glad? Lilia. I keep calling her Lilia. Lydia. Amen. Lydia, finally got her a church that she can go into, and they're not having to worship over here under some tree. Amen. She's got a pastor, and she's got some people there to help her out. Don't you think she's grateful? Amen. They are. And so they're funneling money to the preacher, Preacher Paul, as he's on his missions trip. But they said, hey, we stopped giving because we didn't have a lot to give. But then Paul said, you know what? He come back around here, and you guys are doing the best you can. He said, Thessalonica, you guys sent once and again. He said, nobody else did that, but you did. Now, I guarantee you, they probably didn't send him $1 million. But you know what? When you don't have anything, a little bit helps.
That's right. It does, Pastor.
A little bit helps. And we're in a missions emphasis day right now. And you may say, well, I'm giving this much already. Praise God. And I know you probably are. And I'm grateful that you are.
Amen, Pastor.
But our heart's gratitude to say, you know what? Maybe I can just squeeze out another dollar.
Yes, sir.
You know, if you give $1 a week, what's that? That's $52. That's not really a whole lot. Maybe you say, I can give $2 a week. Hey, I guarantee you the missionaries will be grateful. But more than that, God will be grateful. But why am I giving? Out of a grateful heart. Because I'm saved. Lastly, their sacrifice was satisfying. Notice verse 18 and 19. But I have all in abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Paul said, you know what? I'm full now. I receive what Epaphroditus sent through you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He said, I'm satisfied. The sacrifice was satisfying, not just to me, but God. as well. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He said, now church, because you guys gave to me, my God's going to make sure that if you have a need, he's going to meet that need. And folks, it's always been about that. If we do what God is asking us to do out of a grateful, gratifying heart of compassion, then God says, I'll make sure that you have what you need.
Amen.
It may not be a lot. It may be a little. But little is much when God's in it. Paul said, you know what? The other churches are in the same boat. But you know what? You guys were the only ones that communicated with me. You sent once and again. And I know you didn't have it to give. Philippian jailer lost his job. Lydia's out there, you know, seller of purple. She lost her job. She didn't have, her sales are down. You know, demon-possessed girl, nobody wants to give her a job because, you know, they lost their bidding on her when she got the demon cast out. And so I know you don't have a lot of money.
That's right, Pastor.
But you guys gave what you could.
Amen.
You know, and when we give what we can, God is pleased with that. And what did he say down there? Verse number 18, but I have all in abound, I'm full, have received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from him, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to who? To God. To God. It's not so much about pleasing each other, but it's about pleasing God. What can we do further for missions? Now, I read this every year, and I'm going to read it again. Missions giving is a spiritual commitment. It will take the grace of God for you and I to give consistently throughout the year. Number two, missions giving is a physical commitment. We may have to do without some things or cut back to make it. I'm sure the Philippians did. And number three, missions giving is a financial commitment. It'll be funds obligated and put aside as God gives to us above our tithes and above our offering.
Amen.
And then number four, missions giving is an annual commitment. And I'm going to ask us to go beyond November. That's the normal date. Mm-hmm. But our missions conference is going to move to February, the end of February. And I'm going to ask if at all possible, you can give the same amount that you're currently giving throughout the end of February. And I know our missions conference ends at the end of November or is moved. And your promise goes to the end of November. And if you can't give beyond that, praise God. I definitely Amen. Understand. But if you can, and you say, I can extend that to December and to January and into the end of February until we have our mission. If you can extend, would you do that?
Amen.
We have missionaries that are counting on us.
Yes, sir, we do.
Our missions conference is moving, but the missionaries are still going to need to be paid. And I do trust that you can continue to give. Not ask you to increase at November, but just continue through November. Now, you might need to increase now. You may be led to increase now. And if you can increase a dollar or $2 or $5, however God leads you, praise God, do so. But if you can't, just stay where you're at.
Amen.
Say, preacher, it's hard. I understand it's hard. But sacrifice is always hard. Sacrifice is always giving what I really can't afford to give. But I'm trusting my God to supply all my need according to his riches and glory. I guarantee the Philippian church didn't have it to give. But they did. Let's bow for a word of prayer. As you think about going into the morning service, we'll be handing out the Missions Faith Promise cards. Maybe you're currently giving, and somewhere along the line you stopped. And maybe you need to just start all over and say, Lord, I can't go back and repay what I owe, but I can start giving right where I'm at. And maybe you'll start right where you're at and say, you know, I promised to give this last year, and I haven't done so. But I'm going to start giving that which I promised last year. Maybe you say, I've been giving this amount all year long. And man, it's tough. But Lord, if you give me the grace, I'd like to keep giving that same amount for the rest of the year. Maybe you say, I've never given to missions. I'm ready to start. Maybe you need to start right now giving as God leads and lays it on your heart. Or maybe you'd say, you know what, preacher? God's blessed me. I can increase. I can give a couple more dollars a week. I can give a little bit more than I'm giving right now. Maybe God spoke in your heart. Maybe you can do that. But as God leads, from a heart of gratitude, because you're thankful that God saved you, and you want someone else to get the same salvation that you have, would you pray about what God would have you to do? Father, bless now As we go into the morning service, we see what the Philippian jailers had to be thankful and grateful for. And then as a result, they were so thankful, they supported Paul so that he could give the gospel to others. And Paul was grateful and wrote back to them, thanking them for what they did, and even thanking them when they couldn't give because he knew their heart was there. And God, we're in the same boat now. We have been saved, and we want others to be saved. And Lord, help us to continue giving, to start giving, or maybe to increase our giving, that others can experience the same joy that we experience being saved people. Lord, from a heart of gratitude, not of duty, something that we have to do, but because something we want to do, and it's free that we're giving. Thank you, Lord, that we may have to make a sacrifice. Thank you for loving us. Work now in the next hour in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.